Alright, turning to 1 John 5, looking at verse 19, the verse that we are on today. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. Now, when we come to these last few words, we see over and over again those words, I know, I know, I know. And we have seen them continually throughout the whole book of John, 30 some times. In the book of John, either I know or that which is very similar to I know. And that's because it's a book of I know. See, John wrote the Gospel of John to bring us to the Lord, to teach us about the Lord. These things are written unto you, he says in John chapter 20, verse 31. These things are written to you that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So that's why he wrote the Gospel of John. But he wrote the epistle of 1 John to give us a certainty of that salvation that we have been brought to. And that's why it's I know, I know, I know. This is a book of assurance of our salvation, how we can know that we are saved. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God to our understanding, to our edification. At this time we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to notice these last three we know. Verse 18, because this is the way he brings the book to a close. He actually gives us all that he had been talking about through the whole epistle of 1 John, and he kind of sums it up in these last few verses. So the first we know of verse 18 of the last three we knows is we know that whosoever is born of God sins not. And he's talked a great deal about sinning not in the book. And then in verse 19, and we know that we are of God. And he's talked a great deal about knowing that we are of God. And then he says, and we know that the Son of God is come. And that's how he starts the book. John starts it that way. We know the Son of God has come. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, declare we unto you that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And he declared that unto them that they might know that the Son of God is come and that they might know that they know the Son of God. And that's really what the book is all about, that they might know that they know the Son of God. So we come to the second and the last three of John's we know in summation of the epistle of 1 John. Now in verse 19, our verse for today, we have a great contrast, and I want you to notice that contrast as we read it to you once again and you follow along in your Bibles. And we know that we are of God. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness or in the wicked one. I'll explain that to you in just a moment. So you see the contrast of being of God or being of the wicked one. So that's our verse, and that's the contrast, and that's what we want to speak about today. If I was walking down the street and I met an individual on the street and I said, I know I'm of God, and the whole world around me lies in the wicked one. Well, you're a pretty arrogant individual, aren't you? Is what I would probably get that type of response from the person I said it to. You're a pretty proud person. You're a pretty arrogant person. And that's really the way the world responds, you know. I was telling my older brother was here earlier today looking at some of the pictures. He had another church that he goes to. And I was telling him earlier today, I said, I heard a poll from the Barner Associates. I don't know whether you're familiar with the Barner Associates or not, but they're a Christian group that takes a number of polls in relationship to Christianity. And one of the polls they just took recently, and I was shocked by this poll. I didn't know we were that far gone. But they say now at least 50% of Americans think that a lot of the trouble that's being caused is by Christians. and they're talking about the gay group and different things like that. The Christians are responsible for 50% of the troubles that are going on in America today. I don't know whether that poll is correct, but that's Barney. He's been doing it for probably 30 years or more. And that Christians are too involved politically. You know, they're too involved of trying to change politics or get the right person and so on. And of course, a lot of that is reference to the Tea Party, of which a lot of Christians are involved in the Tea Party. So that's how far we are gone today. So I want you to think even about that and about these things as we go through this verse today. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. Now, this word wickedness, I want to retranslate it for you because it has the definite article in front of wickedness. And the definite, and the word wickedness is in the masculine gender, not in the neuter gender. Why do I say that to you? I'm not trying to teach you a Greek class or something like that. But it makes the difference in translating this word here. And every Bible teacher that I've ever read on this subject, and I've read 20 of them or more, on this subject, will say the same thing. So let me read it to you once again. And we know that we're of God, and the whole world lies in the wicked one. It's speaking about the wicked one, or the evil one. Some of them translate evil one, but the wicked one. Now, to kind of bring this home to you, back up one verse. What does verse 18 and the latter part of the verse 18 say? But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Go back to chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And turn to chapter 3 and look at verse 12 in chapter 3. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and whereof slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And then you come to verse 18 here. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. The same word is used in verse 19. That's why we translate it this way. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the wicked one, because the definite article is definitely there in the language that the Bible was written in. Lies in the wicked one. If it was in the neuter, wickedness would be fine. But the thought is there that the world lies in the arms of the wicked one, or lies in the arms of the evil one. Now, John is making a very important contrast. Please get this. John is making a very important contrast between himself, including those he's writing to, and the world that surrounds them. And he's doing the same for us. We are included with John and those that are he is writing to. And he says there's a great contrast between you who have believed on the Son of God that I have spoken to you about, and that world out there that you are surrounded by. We can say that we know that we are of God. Now, John would sound presumptuous and even a little bit arrogant were not so a very important truth that the Lord's people need to lay hold of. And we need to lay hold of this truth. If we don't lay hold of this truth, we're not going to separate ourselves from the wicked one. And we're not going to separate ourselves from the world of whom lies in the arms of the wicked one. So this is a very, very important truth that John wants us to lay hold of. Now let us return to the first truth of this verse, and then we'll go to the last part concerning the wicked one. But the first part of the verse, which says, "And we know that we are of God." Now we're not presumptuous by saying that. That's why the whole epistle is written, that we might know that we know God, that we might know that we know the Son of God. So there's no uncertainty in these words. It is not we think we can know, or maybe we can know, or I hope I can know that I am God. But with absolute certainty, John says, we know that we are of God. Amen. And he had every basis for saying that. He had every reason for saying that we know that we are of God. In fact, much of the book is spent on this subject alone, how we can know that we are of God. And of course, he tells us several signs by believing the name and the person of Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, as the Son of God, that we can know, as he brings out in chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And then keeping the word of God, the next two verses, we can know if we keep the word of God, verse 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, or keep his word. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous to us. They're grievous to the world that lies in the arms of the wicked one, a grief to try to live for God the way those fundamental Bible-believing Christians live to the world. They think we're somewhat fanatical, and it's a grief to them. But he's showing this is how we know that we are of God. And then by having fellowship with the Father and his Son, they could know. That's brought out in chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life, for the life was manifest, that we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So that we have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, we can know that we are of God. And then as he brings out, also in chapter 1, by being transformed from darkness to light, they could know. We've had a transformation of life. We've gone from darkness, we've gone to light, as he says here in verse 7 of chapter 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, we can know that we are of God, and that God cleanses us from all sin. By love for those that have been begotten of God, they could know. If you turn to chapter 3 and verse 14 and look at that, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we what? Love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. If you have a love for God's people, you can know that something has been transformed in your life, that you have a love for those who are believers, those who are Christians. You love to be around them much more than the world itself. And that says something, that something has taken place in your life, that you love them who have been begotten of God. Those that have been born of God, begotten of God, we love them because they've been begotten of God, and we have been begotten of God. And we love those who have been begotten of God, tells us that we know God, we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So by a love for those that have been begotten of God, they could know. This is a love for God's people as brought out here in the. In fact, that's brought out on several occasions throughout the book, that subject of loving the brethren. And then by having a love for the Father rather than the world. I'm not going to go into the scripture, but you know it. You've heard it many times, chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, concerning the love of the world and the love of the Father. If we have the love of the world in us, we do not have the love of the Father in us. If we have the love of the Father in us, then we do not have the love of the world in us. By that we can know. And by believing the witness that is brought out that I preached on several times in chapter 5. So we can say we know that we are of God. We know, as he says in the first part of chapter 19, that we know that we are of God. Not arrogantly, but humbly before God, we can know that we are of God because we know him who loved us and gave himself for us, that through him we might not only have life, but that we might have life eternal. Now let me go into the latter part of this verse, the contrast of what we have been speaking about. And the whole world lies in the wicked one. Many Bible teachers and commentaries on this subject, Bible Gleam commentaries, will say the evil one, the wicked one, the evil one, one and the same person. We'll just use the term the wicked one, because I believe that's what the Greek language brings out here. So let's look at it once again. The whole world lies in the wicked one. And that's what we know too. We know the whole world lies in the wicked one. Now, this one that is known as the wicked one in Scripture, and throughout the book of 1 John, where you constantly have a translated wicked one, this one is called in the Bible the prince of the power of the air. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. The prince of the power of the air. And I throw this out as a challenge. What kind of air do you breathe? Do you breathe the prince of the power of the air? Do you breathe his air? Or do you inhale God into your life and the things that have to do with God? So he says, what do you have on your wall? You know, what kind of breathing do you do? You know, do you breathe in the prince of the power of the air, or do you breathe in God and exhale prayer toward God? All right, now, he's called the prince of power, but he's also called, in John chapter 12, verse 31, the God of this world. He's called the God of this world. Why? The whole world lies in the wicked one. It lies there in the wicked one. And he's the God of this world. And what God do you serve? Do you serve the Lord God of heaven? Or do you serve the God of which the whole world lies in? Which God do you serve? So we are challenged by this verse and this great contrast that exists between being of God and being of the world. Now, although we know that every person that does not know the Lord really is in the hands of Satan until they're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ, yet he's speaking here when he says the Lord, the whole world lies in the wicked one. He's speaking more of the systems of this world, the way of this world, the philosophies of this world, the ideals of this world, the pleasures of this world, the thinking of this world. It all lies in the wicked one. It all lies in the evil one. And we could add to that the educational systems of this world lie in the wicked one. The entertainment of this world lies in the wicked one. All of these, John is saying, really, and this word lie means embedded. John is saying it is embedded in the wicked one or the evil one. This is what John says means when he says they lie in the wicked one or the evil one. It's embedded, this world is, in the evil one and the wicked one. So like Samson, lying in the lap of Delilah, bewitched by her charm, with no idea that he was about to lose his strength. No thought that he was going to lose his strength. And so it is, the world lying in the wicked one has no idea of what really is transpiring for them. They have no idea, no thought. If you told your neighbor that you just every sign that he didn't know the Lord, that you're a child of the devil, boy, you'd be in trouble. I'm telling you, I'm not saying you don't approach him that way. That's not what you witness to a person, but that's true, isn't it? So they would rebel, but that's exactly it. This world, we are of God that have Christ, that believe on the name of the Son of God and what that name means. And the fact of not only the Christ, but the cross, and that which has to do with the cross. We know that we're of God because he's told us so. It isn't that anything that we've done or anything that we've accomplished or anything that we have earned. It's just by the grace of God we are saved, by faith through faith, not by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should. We know that, but the whole world is embedded. The world is embedded like Samson in the lap of Delilah, bewitched by her charm with no idea that he was about to lose all of his strength. It's like a sow, we said, lying in the mud and enjoying every bit of it. See? And the world does enjoy every bit of it. They enjoy their life in the world. They enjoy the pleasures of the world. They enjoy being without God and without Jesus Christ and the restraints of God on a life, you know, and being separated from it. They enjoy it. It's like a sow lying in the mud, just enjoying itself in that mud. The wicked one, the evil one, Satan becomes to the world actually their comforter. We have a comforter. Our comforter is the Holy Spirit. See? He's our comforter. But the comforter of the world is the wicked one, the evil one. He comforts them in their way, in their thoughts, in their philosophies, in their ideologies. They just love the comfort that he gives to them. Of course, not realizing where it comes from, but it comes from the wicked one, the evil one. They just enjoy it and they're comforted by it. And he comforts them in their ways and in their thoughts and in their philosophies and in their ideologies and in all of their systems. He comforts them. They find him as their comfort, knowing not who it is that they find their comfort in. So they know not that their comforter is the one who has deceived them with his systems, with his deceptive ways, with his pleasures for them, his thinking that becomes their thinking. They're comforted in that way. And they know not. That's why in the book of Revelation, when you come to the book of Revelation, and the Bible says, he that deceived them, Satan, was cast into the lake of fire. But think of the first part of it. He that deceived them. He that deceived this world. He had that. We sing the song. How's it go? He holds the whole wide world in his arms, you know, by God. Well, it's actually Satan who holds the whole wide world in his arms. See? They're embedded in him, embedded in your system, in his ways, in his thinking, in his philosophies, in his ideas, many times in his business ways, in his education. Well, they're embedded in him. It isn't just they're in him, but they're embedded in him. And they know it not in whom they are embedded. You know, even the good of the world is of the wicked one. The evil one. That is, by the good of the world, I mean, a man may give up his evil ways of, you know, or even not even commit murder or drunkenness. He may not be a thief. He may not commit adultery. He may be good in the eyes of mankind. He may have his works of philanthropy, their good works, making themselves commendable in the eyes of men and in the eyes of others. Are they embedded in Satan? Are they embedded in Satan as well? These good people that we call in the world good people, are they embedded in Satan's will as well? Well, you see, the wicked one, the evil one, has deceived them, for they do not yet honor God's Son. They do not yet glorify Jesus Christ. They do not follow the ways of the Lord. They follow their ways, you know. They will not rob. They will not steal. They will not commit adultery. But they still do not honor God. They do not honor Christ. I mean, there's many good people you see, quote, unquote, around you and on TV and so on like that. But they don't. Are they honoring Christ? Do they glorify God? Do they worship Jesus Christ? Are they embedded in Christ? Then they're embedded in the wicked ones. The wicked one is where they're embedded. Even in all their self-righteousness, or in all their humility and in all their righteous way, they are still embedded because they do not glorify Jesus Christ. They do not accept him as the only begotten Son of God. They dishonor God by refusing his Son, Jesus Christ. And they may be accepted by all the world as the finest person in the world, but if they do not honor God and receive God's Son and his ignominious death on the cross of Calvary for them, then they are embedded in the evil one. They're embedded in Satan. The world lies in the arms of the wicked one. And until we realize this truth, and let me try to impress this upon you, because it was impressed upon me by one of the writers that I was reading. And as I talk to you, I have as much conviction upon me as I trust maybe you'll have some conviction upon you as far as the world is concerned as well. But so until we realize this truth, that the whole world lies in the wicked one, we will be lured by much of this world. We will be lured by much around us that is embedded in Satan. And this is well illustrated as we watch our TVs from time to time. How many people just love to watch Dancing with the Stars, you know, a program like that, you know. A lot of people love watching Dancing with the Stars. Does that glorify God? Is that exalting Jesus Christ? Is that lifting him up? Do we feel better spiritually after we've watched something like that, you know? Do we want to praise God and pray to God, you know? And you could go on and on and on, because this entertainment world is embedded in the wicked one to draw you away and to sap your emotions and to sap your thinking concerning God and Jesus Christ, so that we will not worship him and honor him and glorify him the way we should. So the world is embedded, and we get lured by it ourselves sometimes as believers. I point one finger at you, but remember, I got three pointing back at myself when I do that, you know. So unless we realize this truth, that the world is embedded in the wicked one, we will not come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, that you might be my sons, and that you might be my daughters. And be not equally yoked together with unbelievers, for what righteous has with unrighteous? What communion hath light with darkness? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible teaches us to do so. So, do we breathe in the air of the world? The air of the wicked one who is the prince of the power of the air? Or do we breathe in God and his spirit, that we might be kept in the things of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? To whom do we give ourselves over to? This world, all around us, is embedded in the wicked one. And if you can say, I know that I'm of God, then we ought to come out from among the world and be separate. Now, when I say that, I want to point this out very, very strongly and quickly as well. There's a world out there that needs to be reached for Jesus Christ. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, the Bible teaches us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You see? And so, we need to realize we need a communication with the world for the sake of the gospel and giving out the gospel. And we live in the world. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. In John 17, that famous high priestly prayer, I'm not of this world, I'm going to leave. And he did. He left it. Because he wasn't of this world. This world wasn't of him. He wasn't of it. This world is of the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, Satan that's embedded in it, and Jesus Christ is not of that. He came to die, and after he died and was buried and rose again, he left this world. And he says, I am not of this world. And he left the world. But he left us in the world to carry on that work that he came to do when he died on the cross of Calvary and gave his life a ransom for sinners, that we might go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that was better done by him leaving the world and going into the presence of the Father and sending his Holy Spirit unto us, who shall convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, which the Holy Spirit does through the believer. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, he said. So he's left you here for one purpose: to worship, honor, glorify him, and to reach out to a lost and dying world. That's why you're here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these truths. And we pray that we might be able to grasp them. And that we might see this world as you see it. A world that's embedded in the wicked one. And Lord, help us to know that we need to come out spiritually, out from among the world, that we need to glorify you, because you have said, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that we may honor your name, and that we may spread abroad the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that in that day there will be a people there from every tongue and tribe and nation. Help us to do so as your witnesses in a world that does not love God, does not love Christ, does not love the things of God, does not love the things of Christ, who many times are antagonistic toward God, antagonistic toward Christ, antagonistic toward Christians, antagonistic toward the cross. And yet, we know that you will reach down and save a people from every tongue, tribe, and nation by your grace and by your mercy, even as you save us. So help us as your people to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the world, we pray in Jesus' name.